Arizona's news station, KTAR News 92.3 FM. Arizona Votes, Primary Day 2022, with Mike Broomhead.
Hey, thanks for being here. Appreciate you being with us on Primary Day. We are covering this election all day long into the night. We'll be on the air until at least 11 o'clock tonight discussing this, depending on how these races fall. Talked with Stephen Richer. He is the Maricopa County Recorder, to get a little information from him. Let me pass some of that along to you. The polls close at 7 o'clock. At 8 p.m., they will be releasing the results of the votes that they have tabulated so far, which will include mail-in ballots that have been mailed in. It will not include people that are voting at the polls that day, not in the 8 o'clock. They're going to take the readers, they're going to take the memory cards from those machines, take them back to Election Central, and then we'll get those results later on. If you drop your mail-in ballot off at the polling places, they're going to have to verify the signatures and all that, and that will follow after that. But there will be a big chunk of results that we will have for you, and we're going to have live election coverage here on KTAR News this evening, beginning at 8 p.m. So we should have a picture of how a lot of these races are going. Probably not all, but some of them. And that's just some of what's happened. A couple of things that have happened is they're using these Pentel pens. They're like not Sharpies, but they are felt pens as opposed to ballpoint pens. There was one polling location where people were stealing the felt pens and replacing them with ballpoints. Here is what Mr. Richer had to say about that happening.
Yes, it did happen at one location. And so what we've done is instead of putting a pen on every single voting booth, we've just given pens to individual voters at the desk where you receive your ballot. What does it mean? So far, everything's running smoothly, but as we've mentioned ad nauseum, we would prefer if you use the pen that is given to you because it works well with the tabulation equipment. And all we want is a smooth primary election.
And that's true. And that's what everybody wants. That's what everyone wants. As far as election integrity goes and as far as voter intimidation of the polls go, Maricopa County Sheriff Paul Penzone was on with Gatos and Chad yesterday and said this about where law enforcement will be.
The majority of the folks are going to be dispersed out throughout the county are going to be in plain clothes. And that's because we don't want to have an environment of intimidation that you see a uniformed officer feels militaristic. It can make some people feel uncomfortable at the polling sites, like they're being tracked by law enforcement, which is not the case. So it will be plainclothes folks who are kind of paying attention at a distance. You're not going to know if they're there, but they're going to be there. And then we also have secondary units that are going to be uniformed, and we're working with other municipalities because we can't cover 9,000 square miles by ourselves.
So that's going to be something else. It's added protection, which I think is a good thing as well. There's a letter that was written and released yesterday by the Attorney General, Mark Brnovich, and sent to the Honorable Karen Fann, Arizona State Senate. She is the Senate President. And this letter is an affirmation of what I had been saying for a long time. And the reason why I keep going back to this letter is because, well, there's two main reasons. Number one, I don't like, all of us say we are so proud of Arizona, we love Arizona. What I don't like is people coming in and then just going scorched earth on the integrity of good people. That doesn't mean everybody's right all the time, but to say that they are intentionally doing something, to say that they are intentionally trying to steal an election or they're part of election fraud, I'm going to go back to a conspiracy theory that is so ridiculous that it made me laugh. It's funny now, but it wasn't funny to this family. Clint Hickman is a supervisor, and I've talked with Clint many times. I've told you I'm friends with him. I've gotten to know a couple of members of his family casually because I've done charity events with them. This is a very strong, good business family here in town for generations that is very benevolent and very kind and very giving in their community. There was a rumor that Clint Hickman fed ballots to his chickens and then burned down one of his barns, killing thousands of chickens, costing probably millions of dollars to his family to get rid of the ballots. That he set his own building on fire. Now, he would have gotten the permission of his entire family to do this. So the entire Hickman family had to be in on this. Someone asked me when I told them that story, they said, well, why didn't he just burn the ballots? Why did he have to feed them to the chickens first? But this was an actual conspiracy theory that people were believing. when you go after someone's character, I don't mind being called wrong, because many times I am, and I have to go back and tell someone, you know what, you were right, I was wrong. Questioning someone's integrity is a different thing. So in this letter from Mr. Brnovich, the Attorney General Brnovich, to the Senate President Karen Fann, just one paragraph. This letter serves as notice that we now have concluded our criminal investigation related to deceased voter allegations. Specifically, we received numerous complaints regarding allegations of dead voters during the 2020 elections, including those presented to us by you on September 24th, 2021, following the completion of the Cyber Ninjas audit. This specific complaint alleged that 282 individuals who were deceased prior to October 5th, 2020, voted in the November 3rd, 2020 general election. After spending hundreds of hours reviewing these allegations, our investigators were able to determine that only one of the 282 individuals on the list was deceased at the time of the election. All other persons listed as deceased were found to be current voters. The next line shows that there are people that have a little bit of sarcasm and a sense of humor. Our agents investigated all individuals that Cyber Ninjas reported as dead, and many were very surprised to learn that they were allegedly deceased. So this goes into how badly this audit was done. Once again, these claims, this is another part, I'm skipping ahead. These claims were thoroughly investigated and resulted in only a handful of potential cases. Some were so absurd, the names and birth dates didn't even match the deceased. And others included dates of death after the election. While our office has successfully prosecuted other instances of dead voters, these cases were ultimately determined to be isolated instances. I want free and fair elections just like everyone else does. We deserve them. But at some point, you have to look at the mountain of evidence and say the Cyber Ninjas did a terrible job of auditing the 2020 election. A horrible job. Like I said they were going to do from day one. They were in over their head. It's not what they did. The company is now gone. We'll never recoup our money back. And for all of you out there that believe that the election was stolen, you should be angrier than me, because your chance, your opportunity to have that proven was ruined by a company that was in way over their heads. You shouldn't be mad at me for pointing it out. You should be mad at the horrible job they did trying to prove your point. That's what this is all about. In a moment, we're going to talk about the PACT Act, which would protect veterans and help veterans of burn pits, as they call them, exposed to chemicals. What the real truth is, and did we get to some conclusion? We'll get to that coming up in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Pretty appropriate on Election Day. Born to Run, I think. I want you to help me make a difference in the community. We started something called Broomhead's Action Alliance, and I would love for you to join me. What we are doing is we are setting up community service projects. We've worked with St. Mary's Food Bank, St. Vincent de Paul, United Food Bank, ways that we can affect change and help our community. If you want to be on the list, all you have to do is text ACTION to 411923. By doing that, you'll be on the list. We'll just notify you when it's happening. You can sign up and join us. We'll even send you a free t-shirt. Just text ACTION to 411923. There is something out there called the PACT Act, and what it is, it's the Promise to Address Comprehensive Toxics, and it is geared toward veterans that have been exposed to chemicals, burn pits, and it's for multi-generations of veterans, and it was going to pass, and then it didn't. Republicans didn't sign off on it. And Jon Stewart, the comedian, is a big proponent of this bill, and he's furious at Republicans who wouldn't sign on to it. And when I found out that Republicans weren't signing on to a bill to help veterans, I became very suspicious. My first thought process was, why? I can't imagine a Republican not doing this. So there is a reporter that went after was asking questions and goes up to Stewart, and Stewart loses his control. This is incredible.
Get this crap over the line.
No.
Because these people have suffered for 15 years. Because you're a
Look at them in the face.
I want the bill passed. You're not in good face.
I'm for the bill.
You're not in good face.
So what's the problem? What are you trying to do here?
My question is,
what are
you trying to do here? Why is John, I'm not even against you guys.
What are you trying to do?
Then what are you doing? Then what are you...
So what this is about a piece of legislation or something that was slipped into this piece of legislation that has nothing to do with veterans. That's a $400 billion slush fund. And so Republicans have said we are not signing on to it. Remove that from the piece of legislation and we'll vote for it. I want you to hear Ted Cruz. This is Ted Cruz and his response.
The issue here is the Democrats included in this bill an accounting gimmick where they took $400 billion of spending, discretionary spending, they shifted it to mandatory spending. Didn't change the amount at all. But the reason they did that is it created a hole for $400 billion in new discretionary spending. Their objective, they want to cram $400 billion in unrelated spending onto this bill that has nothing to do with veterans. Now, given inflation that is skyrocketing this country, I think another $400 billion in spending is irresponsible. We made very clear to the Democrats, to Chuck Schumer, that if they passed Pat Toomey's amendment and they just shifted the spending back to discretionary, kept it exactly at the same level, but got rid of the hole for the unrelated pork, that this bill would have passed last week with an overwhelming margin. The Democrats decided not to. They wanted to play politics instead.
So the gimmicks that are being used to spend your money, earmarks in the House of Representatives, you all know in your civics classes, spending bills originate in the House of Representatives. But earmarks, they were gone for 10 years and they are back. And people are using earmarks. Now, I will say, to the credit of the Republicans in Arizona, none of them have used earmarks for anything. That's a good thing, because if you want spending, it should be in a piece of legislation. And I understand the idea of an earmark is, hey, we got something we want to get passed. Let's just tag it on here. Everybody agrees. Let's tag it onto this piece of legislation so we don't slow down the process and we get things done. That's what everybody says. But when it's all of this spending and it's hundreds of thousands here, millions of dollars there, you're talking about $400 billion in a piece of legislation. And this is where politics plays into this, because now you're hearing John Stewart. Now, whether he genuinely believed this or he was made to believe it, I don't know, because I don't know Mr. Stewart. I don't know him. But when you hear someone say the Republicans are voting against health care for veterans, that's a political stance that doesn't make sense to anyone, even on the other side of the aisle. Democrats are not going to vote for health care for veterans. That's an outrageous statement to make. And a first time, as soon as you hear it, it makes you think in your mind, why? What is the reasoning behind it? Now, you may not agree with it. I happen to agree with what they're doing, that $400 billion being shifted from discretionary to mandatory spending, allowing this black hole of money and another $400 billion to just be wasted away. Change the verbiage. And the Republicans were clear and said, change the verbiage. Take it back to discretionary spending where it's supposed to be. Keep it at the same levels. We'll sign the bill. We'll vote for it. But we're not voting for something where you're creating a black hole of $400 billion. Doesn't that make more sense? Even if you don't agree with them on the issue, doesn't it make more sense that that's why they held it up? That they're not just playing games with veterans? I mean, come on. And that's the problem with American politics. I'm a Republican. You might be an independent or a Democrat. So we stand on opposite sides of the streets and automatically see, we told you your people are evil. You people are evil. And that's the way it works. Instead of working together on anything, or at least believing that the other side has America's best interest, especially veterans, at heart, we jump to the conclusion that somehow they're doing something evil. And it just doesn't make sense. I haven't really talked much about this because I wanted to get my ducks in a row. I wanted to hear other people talk about this and hear what they had to say. And it doesn't make sense the way they're spelling it out. We're going to talk crime and punishment. I talked about this earlier today. The crime capitals of America are growing. And is it lack of police officers, or is it possible that it's lack of prosecution of crimes? I'm going to go into detail about what's happening here in Arizona, because we're not on the list, but we know crime is on the rise. So we'll talk about that next.
Stop.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Thanks so much for being here. Number of police officers shot so far this year reaches a staggering new toll is the headline that should make us all worry. The FOP, the Fraternal Order of Police, announced on Monday over 200 police officers have been shot so far this year as violent crime continues to be an issue. They say that's resulted in a 14% increase in officers being shot compared to the same time last year. There's a combination of things that are at play here. Number one is lack of respect for law enforcement. No doubt about that. That we do not see law enforcement as a society the way we've done in the past. This is part of the, I don't think we recreate the wheel. This is just part of the anti-establishment, anti-authority sentiment that has been in our society forever. In the 1960s, it was geared and aimed more toward the military with the Vietnam War. And people were very critical of the Vietnam War. And so that anger toward any establishment or authority, the peace and love movement and Haight-Ashbury and love the one you're with and the drugs and all that stuff and the hatred toward, which was interesting because they were all give the peace sign. Everything was give peace a chance. And they were just vile in the way they treated the military. Well, we've seen the same kind of disrespect toward police, but I don't think that that's the root cause of all of this. I think the bigger cause of this comes from a lack of enforcement and the lack of society's willingness. The pendulum swings back and forth. We never really get it right, and I think that's the way society is supposed to work. You do the best you can, and you find a better way, so you go a better direction, but we always should be looking to improve, and no matter what it is, we should be looking for improvement. I don't ever want to feel like, man, I've done everything right. I always want to try to be better. So our quest toward improvement is what is so odd to me, in that the pendulum swung in one direction. If you go back to the Clinton administration, people were fed up with career criminals. So we had a three strikes law put in place. If you were convicted of three felonies, you went away to prison for a very long time with mandatory sentences of 20 plus years. And what ended up happening with that is people got caught up in what society believed was unjust punishments for people, that there were people that maybe were drug crimes or nonviolent crimes that were going to prison for decades when they shouldn't have been there because they fit within that three strikes clause. So what we did, and we have to admit where this started, President Trump trying to rectify that situation, allowing people out of prison that were on some of these charges. So whether you agree with the decision or not, the pendulum began to swing in a different direction. There has been a push in the last couple of years in our society to go with a more lenient attitude toward criminals. And what we have seen is a revolving door. L.A. County has been roundly criticized. George Gascon, who was in San Francisco and did the same thing there as their district attorney or county attorney, whatever title you want to give him. But he also, for a time, was the police chief here in Arizona, in Mesa. And I want to talk about what's specifically happening in Arizona. But when you look at what's happening in L.A., law enforcement is revolting, is rebelling against a prosecutor's office that won't prosecute crime. We got a small picture of that here in Maricopa County. There were problems at the Maricopa County Attorney's Office where police officers were making cases and they were turning them over. And when I say make a case, it's you dot your I's, you cross your T's, you collect evidence, you collect witnesses, you do all of these things the right way, and you turn it over to the county attorney's office whose job it is to review the case, press charges, and convict criminals. That's how it's supposed to work. Many of those cases sat and never were adjudicated. So they had to be dropped because the statute of limitations had run out and police officers were furious. So here we live in a city, and I'm saying we because I live in Phoenix. We live in a city where we know we are dramatically understaffed with police officers. So we don't have enough cops. We just don't. So it's harder to investigate crimes because you have an officer that goes onto a scene and they file a report. They don't necessarily make an arrest. They can't make an arrest either. There's not a suspect there. There's not enough evidence. What it's supposed to happen with that report is that report gets turned over to a detective. And detectives follow up and do interviews and they find suspects. And when they can make a case, they make arrests. Well, we don't have enough detectives. So it's harder and harder to make these cases because they're overloaded with cases. So when you make a good case, you expect that they're going to act on it in the county attorney's office because your time is so limited. So you've got a prosecutor's office who also is understaffed. So they look at this and say, either this isn't a very serious offense, or we don't know if we're going to get a conviction here, so we're going to go with a case that we're really sure of. And so you end up, criminals end up knowing that they're probably not going to be punished at all. The one thing that we don't do here, at least I haven't seen it happen here yet, is we're not letting people out on their own recognizance in such large numbers when they've committed their repeat offenders for crimes. New York City has done it. New York City had two drug dealers that were connected to drug cartels that had thousands of fentanyl pills. Thousands. They were out on the street. Last couple of days, or I'd say within the last week, there was a videotape of a young man assaulting a police officer during a brawl on a subway platform. The guy was arrested for assaulting a cop, among other things. No bail, just let out of jail, and a repeat offender. So when you have those kinds of things happening in these major cities, criminals understand there's no punishment to be had. I'm going to be let loose. I'm going to be just fine. I'm not going to court. Let them come find me. And I think that's a bigger part of this, is that law enforcement is finding out that their partners in the prosecutor's offices sometimes are either overworked as well or underwhelmed in their job. Either way, we are all paying a price for this. And I think we need to start making sure who we elect to these positions, county attorney, whatever it is, you choose wisely. I'm certainly not telling you how to vote, but it is a very important job. It's not just recognize a name and fill in the bubble. And I hope we're learning a lesson from all of this. We talked about illegal immigration earlier, and a new approach to it that we have with this administration. Is it making things better? A very sad story about two men who believed that they were coming to America with VIP treatment and ended up dead in the back of a truck. We're going to talk more about that coming up in just a couple of moments.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
And thanks for being here. Nothing like Van Halen. Appreciate you spending some time with the show. It is Election Day. We are going to be diving back into the primary election before the show ends in the final hour. We had a conversation this morning, a very interesting conversation with Stephen Richer, the county recorder in Maricopa County. And the conversation about election integrity carries on. I've been talking a lot about this, and I want to get to this other story in a minute, maybe, but I want to clarify something. If you weren't listening earlier, a couple of times this morning, I have talked about a letter that was written by our attorney general to the Senate President Karen Fan regarding election fraud and the cyber ninjas doing the audit in Arizona. I have found myself at opposite ends of the table from my side of the aisle on this issue. And I've got a lot of friends, people that I know, very upset with me because I am going after the cyber ninjas or election fraud. And I want to explain why this is important to me. There is nothing more important in our society than free and fair elections. Nothing. So if there is problems with election integrity, I think they should be solved. Obviously, the American people deserve. We've had so many people that have fought and died for this country, for the right of us to elect our leadership. The U.S. Constitution limits the power of our government. And it's such a brilliant document that we elect the people to go to Washington, and they are limited, at least they're supposed to be, limited in what they can do, how they can affect our lives, because the four corners of that Constitution and the Bill of Rights lists what they are able to do and what they're not. It doesn't give us rights. It limits the power of the government. So I am a believer in our form of government, and it begins and ends with people like you and me who are willing to go out, take our time, do our homework, and vote for the people. We don't always agree, but vote for the people that we think are best set to represent us. So if there was a lack of election integrity, you go back to 2016, and Hillary Clinton still believes the election was stolen from her. She actually said very recently, we may never know the truth about 2016. So there are people on the left that don't believe our elections are fair. They believe that they are weak at very best, that they are able to be compromised, and they have been compromised. Then you've got the 2020 election, and Republicans said the election was stolen from Donald Trump and was given to Joe Biden. So we needed an audit. And I think if Arizona was going to do it, I'd have been proud of my state. If we'd have done an audit that way an audit is supposed to be done, I would have been proud of the stand we took. But what Arizona did was hire a company that had never done it before. I want you to think about this. Anything in your life that's important, anything that's important, if you had to have a root canal, would you want to be someone's first root canal? If you had to have surgery, would you want it to be that surgeon's first time with a scalpel in their hand? The answer is no. That when you, especially when it was deemed, and I believe it's true, it was going to be the biggest audit that this country had ever seen of any election. So you're not just talking about a minor outpatient surgery here. You're talking about a major operation. Do you want an inexperienced surgeon doing that? The answer is no. The state of Arizona hired the cyber ninjas who may be good at whatever lane they were in before. They had never audited an election. Not only that, they said that they already knew that the election was stolen. They were already a biased group, which takes away every single bit of accountability and reputation. They have none. You've already come to a conclusion before you start. So I will say this. If I was a scientist and I went and I said climate change is a bunch of junk, there's no such thing as man-made climate change, and I'm a scientist and I'm going to prove it. Well, when I prove it, are you going to believe my report? No, you're not, because I went into it. Same thing on the other side. The people that believe in man-made climate change and the science behind it, those scientists that believe it when they walk in to do the study, that's not science. Science is you do an experiment and you just report the results. That's science. They allowed a documentary crew on the floor. They turned it into a sideshow. It was an absolute sideshow. So, and I said earlier, and I mean this very respectfully, to all of my friends out there who are furious at me about this whole thing, you should be angrier at the cyber ninjas. You should be angry that the company that you put your faith in was inept. And the reason they were inept was because of this letter that was written. The letter was written by our attorney general after spending hundreds of hours following up on the accusations made, not by Karen Fan, by the cyber ninjas. The cyber ninjas said they identified 282 dead voters, people that voted after they were dead. So they went out from the attorney general's office after the millions of dollars we spent on the audit. The attorney general's office spent a ton of money and time investigating because it's important and found out one person was dead. Everybody else very much alive. They also found out in some of the reports that were out there that included 5,400 plus or whatever it is voters. Turns out that they got the death date wrong. They got their birth dates wrong. They got the names wrong. They got all this other stuff wrong. And it's thrown us, it is now 2022 on primary day, and here we are still fighting over a stolen election. Why? Because the audit was done by an inept company that's no longer in business and can't be held accountable. They owe documents that they're supposed to have turned over by court order. They haven't. They say they can't because they don't have any money. They've left with millions of our dollars and left us fighting amongst ourselves. So if you're someone that believes the election was stolen in 2020, be mad at their cyber ninjas because they had an opportunity to prove it and they did a horrible job with that audit. An absolutely embarrassingly bad job. We're going to talk a lot more about the elections in the final hour of the show. But what we're going to do right after 11 o'clock is talk about our economy. What are we doing to help ease inflation for the American people? And what are they doing? Is it going to work? We'll talk next.